Hello and welcome everyone to another edition of Inside Network Marketing. This is your host, Len Clements. This is April 26, 2010. And on this show, we've got a special guest that I'll be interviewing. I have Ian Cordell from Numis Network. And we're going to be talking about some of the questions and concerns and things like that that I've had about Numis Network. And some of you may be familiar with the review that I wrote, which Ian has written a response to, which is now posted on the review on the website at marketwaveinc.com. So, in deference to his time, I don't want to waste a lot of time here doing a lot of setup. But for those of you who are unfamiliar with Inside Network Marketing, this is a show that I do and a podcast for the industry. You can always listen to the archives at marketwaveinc.com. So check it out there. You can listen to previous shows and previous interviews and so forth. And again, if you want to know why I'm doing this and who I am or whatever, just go to the About Len section at marketwaveinc.com. You can find my resume there and all the stuff that I do. So I won't waste any time introducing myself. But Ian Cordell, Ian, you've been around the industry since around 1994. I think you started a technology company back then that served the network marketing industry, and now you're one of the founders and the president of Numis Network. So thank you for being on the call, Ian.
Well, thank you for having me, Len, and thank you for all the things that you've contributed to the industry.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and I want to do something right in advance. I want to apologize right now in that I had a kid on my Little League team 1 year, and his name was Ian, and I was still calling him Ian by the last game of the season. So I doubt I'm going to keep that straight for the next hour. So,
I'll know who you're referring to when you call out Ian or Ian.
Okay. No, it's Ian. I know. And also I want to thank you publicly too as well for the great gift that you sent me. As you know, I'm a baseball card collector, and we communicated about that before. And the Jackie Robinson commemorative coin that I have, it really will be one of my prized possessions. And I really, really appreciate that. That was a great gesture, and thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. That's a stunning coin, and certainly reflects how silver coins can really speak to people's interest in things such as sports or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Right, and also, just want to throw one more accolade kind of out to you and your whole team, too, is that over the years that I've done this, it's been almost 20 years now, I've written a lot of reviews and commentary and so forth about various different companies and products, and typically what happens is I always do try to get the corporate side of the story first before I write anything on it. I've always learned the hard way, actually, to get both sides of every story before I comment on it. And in your case, of course, we were on another call. Shannon Dennison put together a call with, I think, 7 or 8 people on it. We had that conversation. Then I wrote a review and so forth. But typically, what will happen is, as I reach out to these different companies and try to get their feedback, so I can hopefully get my facts straight before I comment on it, they'll either decline or they'll ignore me. And then mm-hmm. I write the review, and then they contact me, or their attorney contacts me, and they tell me about all the facts I didn't get straight. And sometimes they'll even ask, why didn't you try to contact us? And then I'll write back and say, okay, well, anytime you guys want to tell me what I got wrong, just let me know, and I'll fix it, and I never hear from them again. In your guys' case, it seems like anytime anybody has a question or a challenge with anything you guys are doing, it's like, okay, where, what time, what number should we call in, and you're here.
Sure. Well, I think, Numis has generated a lot of interest and controversy in the marketplace, and certainly virtually every question that has been kind of surfaced, and whether it be a positive or negative type issue, there are really clear and concise answers to those questions, and in most cases, it's a matter of clarifying who and what we're doing and making distinctions about Numis Network and its products in contrast to other products, in particular bullion-type companies that have been in the industry preceding us.
Yeah, and that's one distinction I really want to make clear, too, because I know a lot of people out there did kind of have that knee-jerk response to what you guys were doing, and as well as I did, too, the first time I heard about it. I thought, oh, another gold and silver bullion company? Why would anyone do one of those again, considering they have, like, literally 100% failure rate in the history of network marketing? And they don't just fail. They tend to fail pretty miserably, like Gold Unlimited, American Gold Eagle, and so forth. In fact, the owner of that company is, last I heard, was in prison and fled prosecution, was featured on America's Most Wanted, was spotted in a trailer park in the Florida Keys, rearrested. That's the guy who started those coin companies.
Right.
Coincidentally, by the way, the guy who invented the binary, but that's another story. But anyway, because just so people can make a distinction here, and I don't want to monopolize this because you're on the call and we want to hear from you, but the distinction is that these gold and silver coin bullion companies, they were just selling gold and silver bullion, which essentially is an alternative form of American currency. So it's something like, not exactly, but something like sending them a dollar to buy a Susan B. Anthony dollar. You're just exchanging different forms of currency. So there wasn't any margin in it, obviously, so they made up the difference by selling other things that only distributors purchased and so forth. But they also got in trouble for the investment angle. The SEC got involved because their distributors and the company encouraged this, kept saying it's a hedge against inflation, you know, gold and silver is going to go up in value. You have to have a license to sell a security, you know, something that's going to go up in value.
Sure.
They were selling unregistered securities, essentially, securities violation. So that actually got them in trouble, too, whereas here, you guys aren't selling just gold and silver bullion. You're selling collector coins, the numismatic value. That means coin collectors, which is where your name Numis comes from. So you're selling the coin collector angle of it as opposed to just selling gold and bullion coins. So that does keep you in a very separate category from those old gold and silver companies that got shut down back in the 90s.
Well, sure. And before I answer that, just wanted to let everybody know that I am sitting in a corner office with a tremendous amount of construction taking place here in Tampa, Florida. So we also have a trolley that runs right in front of my office. So if you hear a lot of distracting noise out there, I apologize in advance. But maybe I should have tried a different office. But anyhow, it seems to be picking up right here as we're getting into the call.
You're living someplace in the country where construction is going on and people are expanding, because that's not Vegas. Believe me, it's very quiet outside here in Vegas.
Yeah, fortunately, there's a lot of action going on here in Tampa, and so we're right in the middle of it here in the Channelside District. But absolutely, it's a very, very important distinction, and one that intuitively and I guess even logically, when people don't have a lot of information about Numis Network and just hear gold and silver, immediately draw the conclusion, hey, it's another gold and silver deal out there, and you know, inevitably will meet the same kind of life expectancy or demise that some of these other companies have experienced. But quite specifically, what we sell as a product is graded silver and gold coins, and specifically there's a numismatic or collectible coins that have been submitted to one of the top three grading and certification agencies, whether it be Annex, the oldest grading agency in the world, or NGC or PCGS. And by having these coins submitted, certified, and graded, and the grading specifically speaks to the condition of the coin, they have another value component in addition to, they are gold and silver, so there is a precious metal value component to it, but in conjunction with that, the coin has what I would call numismatic value by its condition being graded, it's preserved in a sonically sealed protector plastic slab, and so as you talk about numismatic coins, not only is the metal price of the metal relevant, but also the condition of the coin, collector demand, rarity, etc. And the higher the grade of a numismatic coin, the more valuable the coin in essence is, or and specifically the more collector value it has, whether it's price or what have you, but specifically in collecting something. You know, if you want to collect a car, if you get a classic 1965 Corvette, if it's all beat up, it's not going to be as valuable or have the same collector appeal as a brand new spick and span, perfect condition, one that may even be certified if they do that in car collecting. And I know you have a tremendous background in sports memorabilia and specifically baseball cards. You know, you can even, you know, baseball cards are another area where they have authentication services for baseball cards to confirm that, number one, or certify that it is in fact authentic, and also the condition of the coin, or pardon me, the card itself.
Right. So that's, for example, your American Gold Eagle coins are typically about $20, which would be, sometimes they call it like a couple of bucks over spot price. People aren't understanding the lingo, which I'm just starting to learn here. That means at this particular spot in time, what the silver value is worth could be roughly about $20, but you sell it for $99, and the difference is not just the silver value, but because it's rated MS-70, so it's much more rare, and now it's got a collector value to it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a standard universal scale called the Sheldon scale, which was created by an avid coin collector and numismatist in the early 1900s. And this scale is on an odd point scale from 1 to 70, and 70 indicating virtually perfect numismatic condition, and anything below that is a lower grade and conceivably a lower value. And these coins are submitted to the grading agency. So for specifically, I think you said American Gold Eagle, but I think what you meant to say was the Silver American Eagle, which is a silver coin, a 1 ounce pure silver coin issued by the United States Mint. These particular coins have a, they're 1 ounce of silver, so they have the price of silver, and then there's a spread over them, so that currently they sell for about $20 as a bullion coin. Well, if you take, let's say, 100 of these coins, and it varies by lots and what have you, and you submit 100 of these coins right from the mint to, say, Annex or NGC or PCGS, only a small percentage of these coins will rate out at an MS-70, anywhere from 3 to 10% typically on an, on these coins. So in the context of grading, if I take 10 coins and submit them to a grading agency, it would cost me approximately $20 to have each of those coins graded. One of those coins is likely, if they were in, sealed and untampered condition when they were submitted to the grading agency, one of those coins is likely to come back as an MS-70, which would have a much higher value than, say, and this pertains to modern issue coins and Silver American Eagles, but you might get 9 MS-69s. And in the in the marketplace today, right now, MS-70 Silver American Eagles sell from anywhere from $85 to $200, depending on who's selling it and a variety of little specifications that the grading agencies put on those coins when they grade them. And MS-69s sell anywhere from $25 to $35. They're a tremendously less value to those coins. But at the same time, again, going back to that example, if I submitted 10 coins at $20 a pop, I've got $200 invested to get one MS-70, and that's not even guaranteed I get one or none or two or zero. So, but it's not a precise, hey, these coins are brand new from the mint and every one of them is going to come back in MS-70. That's another misconception about modern issue coins coming, you know, even though they've been uncirculated, untouched, just in the transportation and handling and packaging of coins from the mint and all the various factors that can cause coins to get dinged, whether it happens in at the mint or in the transportation process, only a very small percentage of those qualify for the highest rating at the MS-70.
The dye they're struck with wears out over time. It can might strike the coin slightly off center.
There are so many things that from the dye and the minting process itself to when it's coming off the mint to off of the dye to being packaged to being transported, et cetera, et cetera. So there are a variety of places in that supply chain, if you will, that ultimately a coin can arrive at a individual that or a company that wants to submit them. And ultimately results in most cases between 3 to 10% of the coins are being graded at the higher level for modern issue coins. But, and I'm specifically talking right now about the Silver American Eagle as opposed to a variety of other coins, whereas, for example, Canadian Silver Maple Leaf, it's virtually impossible to get MS-70s graded out of the Silver Canadian Maple Leaf. They recently issued a commemorative coin for the Vancouver Olympics that we were able to get an adequate large quantity of those coins, and they did grade very high because it was a special dye and unique minting process that ultimately resulted in having a coin that we could get a Canadian coin, whereas their traditional maple leaves, we haven't been able to get those to grade high enough to bring those into the lineup of coins that we offer. But that commemorative as a hockey player, that commemorative 2010 Vancouver coin, we were able to get a lot of those to grade high enough. So it varies by coin. It varies by mint. The Australian Perth Mint, those coins tend to, the koalas and kooka bears tend to grade out very high, similar to the silver American Eagle. So it just depends on the particular coins, how they're going to fall into that level of them being submitted and getting a reasonable percentage that are going to grade it an MS-70. But on an individual collector level, the misconception is, hey, there are two primary or tremendous misconceptions out there. One is we talk about a MS-70 Silver American Eagle, and okay, that's a $20 coin. Well, no, it's not a $20 coin. It's a $100 coin. And to anybody out there listening, that we always put out a standing offer to anybody. If you can send us graded MS-70 Silver American Eagles from any of the top three grading agencies, whether it's PCGS, NGC, or Annex, we'll be happy to buy any number of coins that they can produce. And the reason we do that is because we clearly understand that when people believe that we're talking about a $20 coin, they simply don't understand the reality and the economics that go into the grading and certification process.
Right. You're right in that there's three, I think, primary grading services: Annex, PCGS, NGC. There's a couple other fringes, SGS, ICG, but they're kind of like more, you know, way down there, like distant fourth and fifth. Mm-hmm. I also should mention, too, by the way, I do happen to live next to an Air Force base, so you're going to hear self-bombers fly over me. That's the background noise you're hearing from me. But anyway, isn't there, though, a pretty significant difference? In other words, it's not just that they're MS-70, but which grading service gave them the MS-70 grade. I mean, that can dramatically affect the market value of the price. For example, in my own research that I did, I actually surveyed, and I've got hundreds of coins at this point, closed auctions on eBay, many different dealers, you know, did a lot of web searching the last few weeks. And, you know, we're looking at some pretty good data, in that we're looking at dozens or hundreds of different coins that I've surveyed. And consistently what I find is that Annex rated coins are coming in at almost about half the value of the PCGS and the NCG coins. For example, your 2009 MS-70s, which mm-hmm. I think was on your website for $125, they were averaging, not the first strike. I should clarify people out there. Early in the year when it's first strike and the die is new, tend to go for more, so they call them first strikes. They are not first strikes. They're coming in at an average of about $91 overall. But mm-hmm. The Annex rated ones were coming in at a little over $51, and that's 12 different coins or closed auctions and dealers. On the 2010 MS-70, which you've got for $99, they were coming in at about a $93.20 average. So you're, you know, obviously you're competitive in the ballpark. But the Annex rated MS-70 2010s were coming in at $55.31.
Well, sure. I think it's two different points being made in there. The first point is about NGC, PCGS compared to Annex. And in the traditional coin collector market, and when I say traditional, I'm really speaking to the rare and vintage coins. There are a variety. These three graders are the top three. In a traditional sense, NGC and PCGS may be considered tier one, and Annex be considered tier two. In any case, the certification of those types of coins and what have you, NGC and PCGS has a broader reach in the traditional coin collector market. When you get into what you're describing as price comparing on closed bids on eBay, you're talking about two different marketplaces. Numis Network specifically is selling coins to collect in the retail space. Clearly, we have wholesale prices available for our distributors or representatives, as we call them, independent collector representatives. And we are in a position where we are grading a tremendous number of coins. As those coins our position is that they're marketed via our websites or through the individual representatives, and also that they become part of the collection of our customers and or our representatives as they build a collection over time. We don't specifically target them to be resold or compete with a handful of them are being resold on eBay as a auction site. You know, there's a reality in the marketplace. Just about any particular product can be sold on eBay, and you would expect to pay 20 to 60, 70% of what the retail price of those coins are. Whether at this point in time a silver American Eagle from Annex is selling on eBay, closing on bids for a lower price than NGC or PCGS, I guess that's the current status of the market. The market moves and changes, and I would certainly expect that when you look at all of the coins that Numis Network offers and you start looking at, and by the way, we obviously offer NGC and PCGS, a wide selection of those coins, both for gold, silver, and commemorative coins. But when you look at those particular coins on retail sites, the prices are commensurate. And in many cases, the Numis Network prices are significantly less than what coins are being sold on traditional retail sites, as well as bids that are closing for, you know, on eBay.
Just so you know, too, that I got the latest issue from last Friday of the Coin Dealer newsletter, which has a survey that they do of the exact
sure.
same coins from all the different rating organizations and what the average prices are. So they really do like an apples-to-apples comparison.
Sure.
And they were coming in at Annex, consistently coming in at about 26% less than the other two, whereas my survey came up with 31%. So we're both roughly kind of in the same area
sure.
there. So it's not so much the resale value, but it's just that if somebody wanted not just an American Silver Eagle 2010 MS-70 or 2009 MS-70, but specifically an Annex,
sure.
why would you go to Numis and pay $99 or $125 when they're all over the market for 55 and 51 respectively?
Well, I don't think they're all over the market for $51 respectively. I think that there are a handful of auction, again, on eBay, there's a handful of opportunities where a coin could be purchased less than it's currently being sold for through the Numis Network. But
it's not just
when
eBay,
people
though.
Are...
I mean, there are dealers factored into this, too. Like, there are five
And it's a good point. The when you say dealers and you're looking at those price lists, you're starting to talk dealer to dealer, and the price comparison that dealers are trading various grading agencies to one or the other. And right now, PCGS and NGC are bringing a premium. When somebody wants to get involved in collecting graded silver and gold coins, and Annex Silver American Eagles are one of the coins that we offer. We also offer, for example, the as part of our Coin of the Month program, we did the Canadian commemorative, the Vancouver Winter Olympics coin that I described. Next month, we're doing a graded MS-70 Mexican Libertad. We've done the Chinese Silver Panda. We've also done the Australian Koala, Kookaburra, as well as the Austrian Philharmonics. And so as you start looking at all of these coins and you pick one out and go, okay, this particular coin right now, I can go and find there are some eBay auctions selling these particular coins for less than what the current retail prices are. You know, I think in when you add it all up and go, okay, I'm looking at Numis Network as a great place to build a collection, what's the real value proposition? Competitive pricing is very important, but there are a lot of other components to the value proposition, both as an individual customer as well as to a representative who's building a collection, as well as a business with Numis Network. So, for example, as a collector who either just buys coins from us each and every month or takes advantage of the preferred pricing through the Fast Track Collector's Kit and the Silver Coin of the Month program, having access and automatic convenient delivery of a graded silver coin at MS-70 each and every month is a real valuable, convenient way to build a collection. And it's a very safe way to build a collection.
And to be fair, Tier, I mean, there was a number of other coins that I picked from your selection besides just the American Silver Eagle. For example, your the Jackie Robinson coin. That's you got it for $4.99, and their eBay listings were going as high as $700. So it's you definitely got a good price there. Now there was one for $300, but still there are some certainly higher. The 1997 MS-70 American Silver Eagle, you've got for $500, five closed eBay listings and four dealers, average $250.
Mm-hmm.
About half. But then you come back to the silver constitutional commemorative that you have. You got it for $249. The average market was $304. So you beat them. Then we got the Australian silver koala that you mentioned. That was one that I surveyed. You got it for $99.95, and the average in the market's $83. Yeah, it's still competitive.
Sure.
And
competitive prices are extremely important. But when you look at a direct selling network marketing model, clearly the overall opportunity part of that's compensation. On that same coin, there's $30 in commissions being paid through our organization. And while somebody's in building a collection and marketing, introducing other people to both collecting coins as a customer as well as introducing other representatives. And part of our opportunity is both the business opportunity and the collecting side of it and accumulating and building a large collection. The having income and resources that make the cost, or over time pay for the cost or generate income where a representative will have resources to pay for their coin collections. Obviously, part of one of the advantages of a network marketing organization, you're building a business, you're generating income. Part of that income can be used to, in our case, not consume the product, but purchase and collect the product.
Right. And I don't want to belabor the price issue, but just the overall survey, which we don't have time to get into right now, there were certainly a few coins here and there where you came out definitely far better than the market, but overall in general, you were at least competitive to, like I said, in some situations, significantly higher. So it still kind of goes to the question, of all the different options you have out there to get identical coins identically graded.
And I think obviously Numis Network has competitive prices. Is Numis Network... is the price going to be the lowest price on every coin all the time? Clearly, obviously, your survey has reflected no. But is our market is not specifically an eBay coin collector online doing as much diligence as you've done to absolutely find the absolute rock bottom price of any particular coin. In fact, most of these folks that we're introducing to coin collecting are novices and unfamiliar with the space. And that's not to say, okay, charge them more. It's to say that one of the tremendous benefits and values of the network marketing direct sales methodology is educating people about a product and an opportunity, and ultimately making that product available at a reasonable competitive price. And, Numis Network benefits from price transparency on the Internet. Clearly, people can see that they can do their homework and look around and say, hey, okay, this MS-70 is selling for $200 over here. It's selling for $85 over here. On an eBay auction, somebody unloaded it for half of what they typically sell for. But ultimately, when somebody starts collecting coins, and we believe that while we will definitely bring a lot of new collectors to the industry and a lot of people will go out there and migrate from our network marketing channel and become collectors and purchase products directly from other dealers and or on eBay, just as they would when folks are introduced to health and wellness products. This industry, our industry, brings the masses to the health and wellness industry, and a tremendous number of those folks ultimately migrate to other retail or wholesale opportunities to buy their products. I don't think Numis Network is any different in that we're going to be introducing and bringing customers and people to the marketplace. We're going to continue to sell at a very competitive price, very competitive or unique selections of coins, and give people the opportunity to build their collections with Numis Network and introduce them to the industry and take advantage of other coins if they find them and want to collect them as well. And I believe a lot of people will also migrate to collecting a whole, you know, a whole new genre of coins, including the rare and vintage type stuff. And so in the greater good context, if we bring a lot of people and introduce a lot of people to collecting something of a real wholesome value that they not only has intrinsic value, but the value of a rewarding activity of a hobby that they can share very rewarding and positive lessons and historical lessons with their family and friends, and ultimately over the course of the next 5, 10, 20 years, build a massive collection of coins, then we've done a great service not only for the network marketing industry, but also for coin collecting and the general public as well. And again, yes, competitive prices are very important, but there are a lot of other factors to the value proposition besides what's the eBay price on one particular coin at any particular moment.
Right. I see three possibilities as to why someone would want to join Numis. The worst case is they join and they buy the coins every month as a token purchase to meet a quota in a compensation plan. Now, that's one possibility. I'm not saying that's why. It's simply one possibility. Sure. And, of course, we don't want it to be that reason.
Sure.
The second possibility is because they want to accumulate silver bullion because it has an investment value, as a hedge against inflation or whatever. We don't really want it to be that reason either, because then we get into all the SEC things and stuff like that. So we don't want them just hoarding coins because it's going to go up in value in the future. But that's certainly another possibility. The third possibility is because they're entering the numismatic market or they're already in it, they're coin collectors. They're like me and my mom when I was a kid. You know, we would open up those little dark blue books and we would find a wheat penny and we would look through all the wheat pennies and we'd go, well, that hole's still empty. We don't have that one yet, and we'd plug it in the hole. If we already had it, actually we'd probably still save it, but sometimes we'd spend it. But that's, you know, the whole fun of the coin collecting part of it. You want it to be, I think, that third category. But then if they're in that third category, those people, wouldn't they be most likely the ones who would price compare and actually
not necessarily. First of all, Lynn, I think there's a fourth category, and it's not the coin collectors. You know, our slogan is everybody collects something, and if you're going to collect something, it might as well be money. And we believe the best type of money to collect is graded silver and gold coins. Now, there's a reason that that's our slogan, and that's because we believe there's a massive latent demand out there, and people understand it resonates with human nature. Right now, there's people, everybody's collecting something, and for the most part, most people collect a bunch of junk or trinkets and this and that. And as what we do as network marketers is we introduce a compelling concept, a compelling reason. We sell the whole idea that, hey, that doing what we have, taking advantage of what we have to offer, in our particular case, collecting graded silver and gold coins, is better than doing or not doing whatever it is you're doing right now. In the case of health and wellness, obviously we sell the benefits of these health and wellness supplements or energy drinks or whatever the products happen to be. In the case of ours, we just happen to be bringing a very intuitive, a very logical, but untapped concept to the marketplace, and that is human nature. Everybody collects something, and if you're going to collect something, it might as well be money. And what we sell is numismatic graded silver and gold coins. Right. And people understand that. Of course, that is just logical and easy to understand, but at the same time, when people have some interest and respond to that. They go, okay, let me take a look at these coins. Hey, I like these. And yes, some of these folks are going to go do some price shopping, and some of them are going to go, hey, wait a minute, I can get this coin for a little less, this coin for at Numis, or a little less on eBay, or I can get this particular coin at Numis. I can't find it somewhere else. I can get this coin from Numis a lot less expensive at Numis. And they're going to do, you know, some people are going to go coin by coin, and some people are going to go look at one coin and go, hey, that one coin, I can get it for less over here, so the whole thing doesn't add up.
Or some people, your flagship product, though, is the American Silver Eagle.
Actually,
it's got the 2010.
Actually, you know, it's interesting you referred to it as the flagship product.
I'm going to bring
you across an evolution of Numis Network so that you know where the Silver American Eagle falls into to this evolution. When we started the company,
when you join Numis, you get one of those coins in your pack.
Sure.
Then you get on AutoShip, and you get, unless I'm sure you can pick other coins, but automatically by default you would get the American Silver Eagle MS70 every single month.
Mm-hmm.
Right, unless you select something else, but that's the default coin. That's what you get every single month for your $99. So
No, your default coin every single month is the silver coin of the month is a different coin each month. And right now we probably this over the next 10 months our collectors will receive probably 9 different coins in that period.
But
it's not just the Silver American Eagle. When we started the company, this goes back to the original launch of Numis Network. As we were putting together our selection of coins, the coins that we could grade in mass at that right when we started were clearly the Silver American Eagles. And subsequently, we've got. About 12 different coins that we have slotted for the silver coin of the month, and we've added about 70 or 80 other coins to the selection. And, you know, so, yes, the Silver American Eagle is a great coin to start your collection with, and everybody should have one or several of them, but it is not exclusively, as we positioned it, flagship coin anymore. It was our flagship coin when we started out because we had just the Silver American Eagle when we first started out with the MS70s, and as we've gotten to the introduction of the Fast Track Collector's Kit and these other coins that are being part of the Silver
on an auto ship type purchase, though, I mean, it's got to be, aren't they all pretty much going to have to be around $99? I mean, you can't have someone not know from month to month what their credit cards or checking.
Oh, absolutely. We've, you know, for example, I mentioned the commemorative Canadian coin, the Australian koala, the Chinese panda. We've got the Mexican Libertads coming out and the United Kingdom Britannias we've got coming out as well. So a variety of different coins that are coming out on that silver coin of the month.
And they don't just – and they just
and yes, the monthly price for those is $99.95.
Now, do you have the option for someone if they wanted to get an American Silver Eagle coin every month?
Yes, if somebody just wants to collect Silver American Eagles or any particular one of those coins that we have available on the Silver Coin of the Month program, they could opt to do that.
Do you have a lot of distributors that just want the American Silver Eagles and they're just collecting those?
Not really. You know, the Silver American Eagle, where it becomes much more interesting, isn't about, let me have just the 2010. It's about building the set. So it's the 2010, the 2009, the 2008, the 2007, and going back and trying to accumulate and build a complete set of Silver American Eagles. And then in each one of those years, there are a variety of different types of coins, whether, for example, proof coins. We just did some sets with the satin proof, or the as they're known, the burnished Silver American Eagles, which there were three of those, and I don't think they'll ever be, as I understand it, I don't think the U.S. Mint's planning on doing any more of those. But, with Silver American Eagles, it's really not about, hey, let me collect 5 years' worth of Silver American Eagles, 60 of them 12 each year, unless somebody is extremely patriotic and doesn't want any other types of coins.
We would certainly promote it
as a as far as Numis Network's primary focus, modern issue coins from around the world in terms of these 1 ounce silver coins.
Right, because if it was just the same American Silver Eagle coin every month,
that'd be boring.
You would pretty much be in categories one or two. You're making a token purchase to meet a quota, or you're just hoarding the coins for the investment value. A collector, just like my prized baseball card is my Willie Mays rookie card, but I wouldn't want a Willie Mays rookie card every single month. I'd want different
cards,
So you definitely would want some variety there. Otherwise, they're pretty much declaring themselves as the first or second category.
And certainly the variety is really what numismatic collecting is about. We focus on graded silver and gold coins, but there, clearly in the marketplace, there's a tremendous number of, you mentioned wheat pennies, and the U.S. government just concluded its state quarter program, which has been the most successful coin collecting program in the world, bar none, and they've just launched the state park or national parks series, which I believe there's 110 in that series, will run out for almost 10 years of coins, which they're expecting to be bigger and more successful than from the perspective of the U.S. Mint and numismatic coins issued for the purpose of collecting. But those same coins are also designed to go into for collecting, but also go into the general circulation market. But in the context of going back to this graded silver and gold, clearly the other aspect of our business, I talked about everybody collecting something and it being human nature and, intuitively understanding and that concept resonating with people, is this concept of silver and gold. And as a collectible, if we look at human nature, I tell everybody, I think it's in our DNA. It goes back to the dawn of civilization and mankind. I mean, from earliest recorded history, gold and silver have been cherished and symbols of wealth and power and collected by the highest levels of society. And today, it's a it's certainly in a more modern context. Why do these world mints produce these fabulous, beautiful, collectible coins? And create these series each and every
yes,
year.
The post office. I mean, how many 44? What is it now? Is it 44? I have a postage here. I don't even know what the postage rate is. The machine does it for me.
Right.
How many different versions of a 44, whatever it is, cent stamp do you need? And there are hundreds. Well, it's because they know collectors are going to hoard them and buy them up.
Sure.
That's the only reason why they keep coming up with different versions of stamps. So,
sure. And again, Lynn, price is important. I believe competitively priced, and clearly Numis Network's coins are very competitively priced. Can you go on eBay and find an individual coin higher or lower, or the American Silver Eagle? Sure you can. But when all in all, and likewise, you can do that with any product any company is selling, whether it be a network marketing product or whether it be some electronics, that's the very nature of eBay. Can you go on eBay and buy, send tens of thousands of people to eBay with a tremendous demand and expect that the coin prices are going to stay the same? I don't think eBay will be able to support that. Will people... And I don't think that there's been a tremendous number of since our business is about collecting and accumulating, and it's really not about, okay, I'm going to buy a coin today and I'm going to sell it tomorrow, I'm going to go trade it, I'm going to introduce, it's about introducing people into the opportunity to collect and build that collection each and every month in a convenient, safe fashion with some entertaining and educational information that is a fun and safe way to get started collecting graded silver and gold coins without necessarily becoming an expert numismatist, without necessarily becoming an expert internet online shopper. Now, if somebody wants to do that and pick and choose and price every single coin and only take the ones that are the most competitive with Numis Network, I'm sure we'll have plenty of reps that will do that, as well as customers that do that.
I'm trying to get off the price issue now, because there's a lot of other things I want to talk about in the time we have left. But, you know, I mean, I don't think we should really necessarily downgrade eBay as a gauge or as a tool to get us to understand the market value. It's the wisdom of crowds. I mean, it's the ultimate, you know, the market, it's ultimate window to the market to tell us what the value is of any particular item is at any particular time. And sure, it is telling us that Annex rated modern issue American Silver Eagle coins, the market is saying they're worth about half what you're selling them for. Now, there are others where you're close.
Well, I disagree with that. You can go on five sites right now and find Annex coins selling for 99 and more, and you can go on eBay and find them for selling for, you know, some of the closing bids. Some of the closing bids will be less than $99. Obviously, some people have unloaded them on eBay I guess you said about $50, but
I'm looking at them right now. The highest closing bid on an Annex 2009 MS-70, which you got for $125, the highest one was $69.95. So that's the top end. You know, and then there's some exceptional lower ones. You know, you may think, well, you know, something.
Sure. Well, and for those folks that want to take advantage of NGC and PCGS coins and other coins besides the coin of the month coins, we have some exceptional prices on that.
Well, there's another theory I have as to where your margin's really coming from here, which is actually a different thing than I've ever come up with before. I used to think it was, you know, the fast track collector's kit. I don't think it's that now, by the way, which we'll get to in a minute. But, you know, again, the price issue is the price issue, and I think we've pretty much covered that as much as we can. But as far as, again, getting back to those, you know, there's all these different reasons why you would do this. The investment angle is one. I want to just get that one out of the way quickly because I think it's one that's easiest to dismiss and it's easiest to get past. But the investment angle is still an issue in that I know from a corporate standpoint, you guys are really making an assertive effort to rein distributors in and educate them and tell them, you guys, you can't say this is an investment. You can't say it's going to increase in value. You can't say it's the hedge against inflation, all that kind of stuff. You've got videos up teaching your distributors to not do that. So from a corporate level, absolutely kudos. You're doing your job. But still, out there in the field, it's rampant. It's something that, you know, and I know you guys' response in the other call we were on was that, well, all these juice companies out there make medical claims. But it's not really an apples-to-apples comparison, because if MLM companies were, for example, selling aspirin, and you're telling distributors to stop making pain relief claims, that would be more commensurate with what you guys are doing, because what you're selling is by its nature an investment, and the distributors just can't seem to hold back, and they're doing it a lot. I know you guys said that, you know, if you need to, you're going to create the biggest, strongest compliance department ever in the history of MLM if that's what you have to do. And that all sounded great, but in actual practice, right after the last call we did with Shannon, I did a Google search for Numis Network, in quotes. Obviously, just Numis would get you a lot of other things.
Sure.
And then I didn't just search investment, because you could get Numis Network is not an investment. I searched words like best investment, in quote, good investment, great investment, and a fourth term, I forget what it is, but things that would only come up with Numis Network coins or somehow a great investment. On that very first page of hits, I found many, but I collected on my Google setup to find up 50 hits per page. I found several, but I collected just the first 10. That's all I tracked. And those 10 websites that said that Numis Network coins and Numis Network distributors, that's what they're promoting, are somehow a great investment. It could be one mention to the whole theme of the entire page was an investment, whatever it is. One of them was a YouTube video, which is now removed. And according to the YouTube message, it's in violation of their policy, whatever it was. But those other 9 websites, as of this morning, are all still active and unchanged 37 days later. I know there's always some lag time when you notify a distributor, hey, change this. They got to get the web developer to change it or whatever. But 37 days later, I would think your compliance department, the very first thing in the morning they would do is fire up the computer and go on to Google, do the exact same search I did, and there's their work for the rest of the day. It'd be like shooting fish in a barrel. Yet all these websites are untouched, and they're still active.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, going back, I mean, you brought up other network marketing companies and health claims. Obviously, we had exchanged some dialogue by email prior to this call, and you rattled off one particular company's health claims they were making, right on their website, and some of the issues.
And old established should know better company too.
Yeah, and you know, the same thing, you know, going back to that price issue, the same thing is true there. There's health and nutrition companies that sell products that there are specifically similar products available through alternative retail or traditional outlets that sell for significantly less than 50 cents on the dollar for compared to a comparable network marketing company product. And so it's not about the, you know, and we can go into the theory about, well, they've got unique brands, proprietary formulations, et cetera, but at the end of the day, If I'm buying a health and nutrition product, I'm buying a benefit, and I find statistical data in comparable products in a variety of outlets, and those prices in some cases are tremendously less than what our industry is selling and promoting those products. And I believe that the ultimate value in what network marketing brings, including Numis Network, including any of the forthright, upstanding nutritional companies, what they're bringing is education and information and the power of introducing people to concepts and kind of bringing them along and bring them into the market. And in the context of the greater good, if people start eating right and taking losing weight, exercising, taking nutritional supplements, everybody's doing their part for the global community, so to speak.
Before you get to the next point about the investment thing, I just want to follow up on that because that you're in the sense you're almost kind of really making my point. There are a lot of companies out there that are selling essentially a fruit juice for $40 a bottle. And the moment mm-hmm. they get off auto ship and they quit the company, they go to their health food store and they buy the same fruit juice for $12.95 a bottle. In other words, they're in category one. They're making a token purchase just to meet a quota in a comp plan. So you don't want that to be an
analogy. Of course not. And that's what's so compelling. While you may pick out one or two coins and go, hey, okay, this coin's trading on eBay for less money, but over the course of a collector's experience with Numis Network, both as a participant in the silver coin of the month at $99.95 a month and as a collector taking advantage of some of the very interesting and expansive selection of coins that we offer, there is a tremendous value and compelling reason not to jump ship and go and start looking all over everywhere else and have just been a token participant. There are other things that, of course, we'll be continuing to add in conjunction with the expansion of the coins. For example, last week we brought up another 10 different coins that have some unique opportunities for people, both in terms of acquiring a coin that's not very easily available and acquiring a coin at a very good price. But going back to this investment thing, it's a process, it's not an event. Subsequent to the call, we've hired a young attorney here in-house. We have a full-time in-house counsel. We've been putting together our compliance program, our compliance department. We have, in fact, now taken down several, and several being in the tune of probably 20 different sites, and we are on a daily basis reaching out to a numerous number of representatives and requesting that they bring their stuff down and then bring it up into compliance with the Numis No-Nos video, which specifically speaks to investments. Clearly, the investment concept associated with gold and silver is a very intuitive and logical jump. A lot of people, it's one that a lot of people have taken off with. You know, in one hand, we're perceived as, you know, like some of these old bullion companies were, but and some of that has carried over to the message and style that people have brought to promoting the opportunity to collect graded silver and gold coins. We've got our job. We're working on it. We have put together a department and a team of people that are now actively on a daily basis reaching out and addressing those issues. Like you said, it's not rocket science. It's kind of like shooting fish in a barrel, but you do have to have all the pieces in the process in place. It's really more of an operational and human resource requirement more so than it is just get it done. We now have the infrastructure in place, and I believe what you're going to find over the very near term is that these whatever particular sites you were referring to, and then many more that you aren't referring to, will be coming down or falling into promoting the concept compliant with what the story really is and what our mission and business is really about.
Right,
we
about
clearly.
But about a month and a half ago, you guys on the call, you openly said you had about 6,000 or 7,000 distributors. I'm sure it's higher than
sure.
that now. Wouldn't surprise me if it's over 10,000 the way you guys are growing. But if this is a condition now, when you guys hit 50,000, 100,000 distributors, I mean.
Well, I don't think it. I don't. Well, I do think, you know, unchecked and uninformed and unmanaged, your problem grows exponentially with the number of representatives you bring into the business. With the process in place and the education and training in place, and we address at the with the sales force as it is now, and the new people coming in, I believe that we're going to see a significant diminishment of this issue. Clearly, as any company, you start your company, you put all the pieces that you think you need and anticipate in the front end and in the beginning, and you tell your story and you have your training, and then as the new things emerge, you have to put the resources and in this case the compliance department in place to actively police and manage that issue, and we're doing that.
Okay, and just a couple more issues I want to make sure we cover, because I know I really wanted to try to not keep you over an hour. Obviously, we're going to
sure.
go a little bit here, but and I really appreciate your time, because I know you guys are
absolutely.
Busy, I guess one of the main things I really had some concerns about is that actually, let me get the one little one out of the way first, because I think you'll probably just have a direct response to this, and we can move on. But you know, in the beginning, and I kind of changed my position on this a little bit. When I was looking at, well, okay, the price of even the numismatic value of a coin, there's a fairly narrow channel there as to what typically these coins are worth. There doesn't seem to be a lot of margin there to afford the payout in the comp plan. Where's this money coming from? And my theory was it was basically coming from the markup on the Fast Track Collector's Kit, because my concept was, as you know from our previous conversations, that you know it was marked up, had a little bit of a margin in there. As I look it over now, and I look at, I think the more intangible part of it, the subjective part of it, was the educational value of that $325 kit. And I'm convinced that there are people that would probably say, you know what, it's worth it. At least in theory, I can see where someone say, okay, I would buy that just based on the value of the kit alone. Now, having said that, it's my personal opinion, I still think the vast majority are being purchased because they're embedded in the $495 executive package you buy when you join as a distributor. But nonetheless, I can certainly see where that could have value beyond just the distributor base. I don't really have a lot of energy behind that anymore, but there's still one thing that never has been answered, and it was in my review, it was brought up in the original call, is that the executive package was originally 490, where did it start at? 250? No, it was 250.
Well, we had what we called the Fast Track Kit that was $299. And that was exclusively available to representatives. It included a small $25 coin case, one coin, and there were at the time there were two videos associated with the Coins Are Cool training, and there were three. We had a one that was specific for representatives. It was not retail oriented.
So for the most part, the Fast Track Collector's Kit was pretty much kind of the major components of that $299 package.
Well, it's a different approach. You know, Numis Network is an evolving company by design, working across a timeline of development and implementation of our marketing strategy and our retail strategy and our content, if you will. As you know, as I mentioned, when we started the company,
the point was, is the $299 package, was that for the most part pretty much the same thing as your Fast Track Collector's Kit?
Absolutely not. No. That's the point I'm getting ready to make, Lynn, is that when we started, we had no video, we had one coin, and then we came out with this concept of provide training for the representatives in a collector kit, and in conjunction with that timeline, as we moved towards March 1st, we were developing the retail a very focused retail strategy and developing the Fast Track Collector's Kit as a retail product. And there are some very specific things that are essential for the Fast Track Collector's Kit to become a bona fide, valuable, attractive resource for both representatives as well as customers, and in particular in the customer market, is comprehensive education. We've got the training videos expanded. At this point in time, we've got to put our sixth video for retail customer education in. We have eight more after that scheduled for this year alone. And it was not, the retail package was not appropriate prior to we get arriving at March. Another aspect of making the product offering appropriate for the retail market was a comprehensive selection of coins to be available in the silver coin of the month, as well as extraordinary expansion of the product offering on the retail site. Again, going from one coin to approaching 80 or 90 coins that are available on that website right now, Shop Numis, which was a retail site specifically launched on right about the beginning of March, so less than a couple of months ago. And why this is germane to your real question is this question of, do people buy is this a really good retail product and have retail value?
That wasn't really my question. I was getting to something else by asking that first question. It was leading somewhere, and it really wasn't there, because like I said, I kind of get the 325 package as something that has value to someone who's not a distributor. I got that.
Right. And so that product and the Fast Track Collector's Kit and the change in price was introduced when the product was ready.
Right. So it's 325.
When that product had been formulated, designed properly, and it was ready for rolling out in conjunction with the Shop Numis site, the Fast Track Collector's Kit as the foundation, if you will, of the Numis Network business model, both as a retail product and the introduction to collecting graded silver and gold coins, that's when that was the pricing and the introduction of the product in conjunction with the shopnumis.com
right.
site was appropriate.
It was $299, now it's $325 for the Fast Track Collector's Kit, $495 for the Executive Package, which includes the Fast Track Collector's Kit. Executive Package obviously is something only a distributor would buy, but does include the package. Now, the $299 to $325 then, that's a $26 increase. So the point I'm getting to is that when this was raised to $325 and the Executive Package was created for $495, at that same time, your bonuses in the compensation plan, and I don't remember the exact number, but I do know it increased a lot more than $26. So where did all that extra bonus come from if it were not coming from the Executive Package as opposed to the Fast Track Collector's Kit?
Well, the bonuses do come from the Fast Track Collector's Kit.
Right, but
the Fast Track Collector's Kit was introduced. It wasn't raised. The price wasn't raised for the Fast Track Collector's Kit by $26. The Fast Track Collector's Kit was introduced at $325 as the retail product, the foundation again of Numis Network's product strategy and introducing people to collecting graded silver and gold coins. In conjunction with that product being introduced, the aluminum collector's case was introduced, which was not part of the kit at that time. That's about a $70 coin case, which has the three trays in there designed exclusively to hold and display and protect and
but
do
presentation. How much did the bonuses go up right after the Executive Package was that offered? When you added the Fast Track Collector's Kit, the Executive Package $495 came out. The $299.
They were doubled.
So about another $100 to the bonuses?
Yeah.
So that other $100, you had $299, you had everything in the kit except the case, which pretty much has got to be, I would assume, pretty close to break even, not much margin on that, and the training, which you added, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
You got another $100 bonus from bringing the whole package to $299 to $325, added those things to the Fast Track Collector's Kit. Again, you got $26 more from that, but you added another $100 in bonuses. How did some of that not have to come from the $495 Executive Package?
Well, again, we have a $325 retail product that all of those fast-track collector bonuses, including the matching bonuses, 100% are paid exclusively from that. They're not paid from the $495 or the what would amount to $170 in additional cost for what we break out into several different websites and the Numis BBS, including the Shop Numis website, the Numis Network website. So that $170 for the fast track, for the executive success system is additional cost, plus has a Numis portfolio and what have you that goes along with that. That's exclusively for those business tools.
I get what it contains, but before we had $299 and it contained that component. Then it went to $325. Now it contains all of these components, improved. I understand, all bunch of stuff added. But the company had $299 coming in. Now it's got $325 coming in. So $26 more is coming into the company, but they're paying out $100 more out. Where did the difference come from?
Again, Lynn, we've developed the Fast Track Collector's Kit. And you can very easily go on the website and see what the compensation plan is. It has a variety of bonuses, the $100 fast track collector bonus, and then there's several matching coded bonuses that can be generated if somebody's in the coded organization. Those are exclusively paid from the fast track collector's kit. We have the margin in the product. We designed the product with that margin. We intended to develop the product from the outset of the company and our retail strategy to create that product, introduce it with a Numis retail site.
Making my point, though. In other words, for that $74 difference to come out of the Fast Track Collector's Kit, you've got to do something to lessen its value and increase your margin on it. You're describing all the things you did to increase its value. That's the opposite of what you would do to free up an extra $74. So, but I'm saying at the same time, you added $200.
Well, clearly,
it's got to come from the executive package. It's the only place left for it to come from.
No, we pay the commissions on the Fast Track Collector's Kit, and we do not pay them on the $170 portion that comes from the executive success system.
Okay, here's the last point.
Sure.
And I kind of save this for last because I think.
And I understand you're trying to associate it to the history of where the company was and what we're doing today. But these are milestones in a strategic plan to introduce products and components of our business model. So to try to pick a point in time and say, well, what did you do to get to here? It's not what we did at that instant. It's what we were developing from the outset. And the original game plan, the original marketing strategy and product development strategy that's relevant. And that starts at day one. It doesn't start at the day that we introduced the Fast Track Collector's Kit. It starts at day one when we pre-launched the company and had a product development and a marketing strategy that we envisioned and put in place to roll products out.
Now, I'm just going by simple economics. You can't add $74 to the margin of a product to afford to pay out that additional commission by increasing your expense on that product and reducing the margin on it.
Hey, Lynn, however you're doing your economics, I have a $325 kit. It pays those bonuses, and the economics not only work, but they fully support the compensation plan, and it's a great product for folks that want to get involved in coin collecting in an easy, convenient, safe way. And I believe it has substantially more than $325 in value in it. And if it's purchased as part of the executive success system, the $325 supports all of the compensation that's paid out for the purchase of a Fast Track Collector's Kit. And clearly the company generates operational revenue from the other part of those of those revenues to cover the cost of supporting a large growing network marketing organization, but we're not paying commissions. If you're trying to back me into, you got to be paying the commissions out of the 170 because you've increased the value here and you don't have the money there. That's not what we're doing. We have a $325 product called the Fast Track Collector's Kit. That's where the money comes from. And we sell that product retail. Just like any nutritional company, we have that product is our retail product. And just like in nutritional companies, that product can be consumed or purchased, not consumed, but purchased and taken advantage of by our representatives. In this particular case, the Fast Track Collector's Kit one time, of course, the silver coin of the month on an ongoing collector's basis.
There's going to always be this question that's going to probably dog you of how many of these Fast Track Collector Kits are really being purchased by people who want them as opposed to just because they're part of the executive package and you have to get it to be a distributor. Because ultimately, you know, the FTC has declared, we don't care what percentage of your product is purchased by distributors. We go by the motive for buying it.
Sure.
So, and I'm sure you feel comfortable.
And I would tell you, clearly people are excited about Numis Network, both the folks that are buying the Fast Track Collector's Kit as a customer just to be a collector and buying from our comprehensive selection of coins, as well as the representatives who become collectors and are very excited and enthusiastic about acquiring and building their own collections. And so I don't think that there's any question people get involved with Numis Network because they find graded silver and gold coins extremely exciting and along with that, clearly people who become representatives perceive that there's a tremendous business opportunity associated with that and that they can make money in an exciting and prestigious market with a cool product. So do people get involved with Numis Network because they want to make money? Absolutely. What else are we here for?
But if you have a product that people are actually buying besides just because there's a business opportunity attached, there would be a significant number of those people as well, too. So
there's a $10 billion domestic industry for numismatic coins in the United States and $100 billion worldwide.
Right.
We have all, you know, our celebrity numismatic expert and who I believe is the greatest numismatic salesman in the world, Mike Mezak, he sells over $100 million worth of collectible coins all by himself, direct marketing. Do you think there's a tremendous retail demand out there? Absolutely. You've been on the websites and see it all over the place.
All the more reason why there should be plenty of people buying Fast Track Collectors.
And there are.
So interested. Okay, so why doesn't Numis simply declare what percentage of Fast Track Collector kits are being sold to people who are not buying executive packages?
Well, that's a great question. What Numis Network will do, first of all, let me answer the question with a preface. I run a company called Numis Network that has enjoyed some of the most aggressive, what I would describe as vulture marketing, as well as when it's positive and spun to Numis Network, what I would call attraction marketing. What goes on the internet is quite an interesting battleground, if you will, mostly of people trying to promote themselves or their services or their companies by bashing other companies. And Numis Network, for some reason, has created such an interest of all of the folks that don't, for whatever reason, have a better way to market other than promoting the caliber of their products and services, as opposed to, you know, the trollic attacks on Numis Network's model and what we're selling. Having said that, you can rest assured we'll be very conscientious in making public disclosures of private data outside of what I would describe as customary methods. We work with Grimes and Reese. We're right now in the process of developing our earnings disclosure statement. We're going to post our earnings disclosure statement along with any appropriate information that in conjunction with Grimes and Reese, we deem would be appropriate to disclose to the public. And that's what we're going to do. We're not going to be doing it in response to, well, in the case of industry advocates, watchdogs, folks out there on the internet bashing us. I'm just not going to be releasing information except in very concise, customary fashion, as developed and determined with our legal counsel, what's appropriate and customary, similar to what other companies do. And so let me ask you a question, Lynn.
You can ask me a question.
Lynn,
point I'll make about you, understand that if that percentage is very high, you would want to disclose it and would be looking for a way to do it. You would only not disclose it if the percentage was very, very low. So,
well, first of all, that's incorrect, and I will tell you that Numis Network, just like any of the prominent network marketing companies out there, will disclose the appropriate information to the marketplace through a customary fashion. And so by what I would describe as trying to pin Numis Network into having some higher level of private data disclosure requirement through this type of logical argument, I don't think it's appropriate.
Well, no, there are many companies out there have very, very low retail customer to distributor ratios and thus don't want to disclose what those numbers are.
Sure.
Some, because they're publicly traded.
And as I said,
Numis
Network will be disclosing its information through its earnings disclosures, and that's where we'll convey information that we deem appropriate about customer sales, and it's forthcoming. You know, we'll be on par with the highest standard in the industry, and I don't know if you, regardless of the arguments that can be made for or against, that's where Numis Network's going to reside when we produce or publish our earnings disclosure statement in terms of disclosing that type of information.
Would that be an annual thing, or be something that would happen before the
end? It'll probably be semi-annual. I would imagine we'll do it on a six-month basis. And another thing is, we've introduced our retail strategy less than 2 months ago. So I think it goes without saying. Are you expecting me to tell you I've introduced my retail site, and we have a lot more retail customers than we do to have representatives? Is that what you?
No. I'm saying if you've got 7,000 distributors, you should have at least 1,000 people that have bought Fast Track Collector's Kit who aren't distributors. You know, if there's 7-to-1 distributor to customer ratio,
First of all, whether that's the case or not is irrelevant. I think you pulled that's an arbitrary number
I made it up. I'm just saying, but you've got to have, now if you have a 700 distributors and you have 750 Fast Track Collector Kits sold, in other words, they're almost all going
Let me ask you a question. After Numis Network introduces some of the most effective, what we think will be some of the most effective retail strategy training to complement a very unique standalone retail strategy website with a comprehensive product selection, do you think our retail numbers will skyrocket? I think it goes without saying that they will.
It's commendable that you're going to come out with that type of strategy. Absolutely. There are many companies have retail programs and retail bonuses. Doesn't mean they're necessarily employed by anyone, but
Let me ask you a question. I believe you've said a couple of times in the prelude to that first conference call, which I did not participate in, but that you'd, or maybe it was in your Numis review, that you had to take off your advocate hat to be a distributor. You're going back into the field for some time, and then because of the interest in Numis Network, putting back your advocate or watchdog hat. So my question to you is, what is the company that you're associated with now?
This podcast is part of MarketWave, and if I would have mentioned that, I'll get tons of unsubscribes, and people will get all pissed off that I'm promoting my company. Some will even suggest, by the way, that you're probably just a shill that I got to come on this to ask me that.
Well, clearly that's not the case.
Clearly I'm a distributor. I make my living at this industry. I don't think I need to name the company. People can Google me in a second. But if you're getting to the point of what's my motive for asking these
questions. No, I wasn't getting to the point of your motive. I was actually going to go online while we're on this phone call and look at their earnings and customer disclosures, and see if the company that you're involved in is promoting the same level of disclosure that I would consider would be appropriate for the even the same level of disclosure that we're about to publish here in the next probably within the next 4 weeks.
And by the way, my company doesn't have a $495 package to purchase up front, of which potentially up to $200 is paid out of commissions, which I understand could come from the 325 component. But
it does come from 325.
Right, I understand. So, but again, you know, there's not a $500 package and $200 going out in bonuses, begging the question, are people really buying it to get the $200 bonuses, or are they buying it because they really want what's in there? That,
your company has
like
no
that.
Fast track, fast start option.
No, we don't.
So when a distributor gets involved
for
within their first 30 days, they don't have some option for a fast start package of inventory, initial inventory to start selling.
Nope, they do not.
That's obviously unique.
Centers or anything where it's several hundred dollars. I don't know what you're talking about. And by the way, most consumable product companies, they will have a bigger order you've got to pay up front to activate your positions or whatever it is that you've got to do. And I've always had a problem with that, by the way, for the 20 years I've been doing this, in that those packages have embedded in them commissionable product, but it always begs
well,
the question.
Well, just for the record, I would be much more comfortable if you revealed the company and gave me the opportunity to throw some of this back at you. But that being said, I will conclude with the 325 supports all of those fast-track collector bonuses and all the coded bonuses. And the issue of whether customers will buy the product and the package, I think the industry speaks for itself. Numis Network is new to the space. We're doing something that hasn't been done before. The graded silver and gold coins, collectible numismatic coins, has not been done in network marketing the way Numis Network is doing it before. It's all been a bunch of bullion, so there's no predecessor, if you will. So we're going to get some history, we're going to get some real data, and then we're going to disclose at a higher standard than the highest standard other companies are at, with the exception of possibly public companies that have to disclose everything about how their company operates and every little bit of data. So, but by all private company standards that operate in this industry, you will, you know, as you say, time will tell, Numis Network will be on the highest end of the standards for disclosure there.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And by the way, I talked over you when I said this, so I can't edit it out. But again, like I said, anybody can just Google me and find out in a second. So it's Yoli. If you want to have one of your guys go check out the Yoli website, you can see that they don't have that kind of thing up front. But having said that, just so you understand, my motive for doing this, just for the record, is because of the number of people that are calling me saying, Len, what do you know about this company? You guys
sure.
have a very disproportionate number of that type of activity in the marketplace. And previous to that, I got a lot of questions about Mandura and eFusion because of their unique experimental comp plans, which is why I commented on them, you know, put my
sure.
marketplace hat back on. In the future, by the way, I'll plug something coming up. Right now, you guys have kind of been overshadowed by Omega, the company that's selling the literally, and I'm not making this up, a magic wand. who on their website talk about
I hope it works.
Stuff behind the wand. They talk about what makes this wand work. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. The language is almost verbatim what Obi-Wan Kenobi said to Luke Skywalker.
Well, all I can tell you is they may be
check out next.
They may be talking to 20 million Star Wars fans out there that have watched every single movie that's been made in the series and every iteration of it. So maybe there's a large market out there for Obi-Wan Kenobi wand.
They're booming right now selling this magic wand. So I'm going to get one and I'm going to test it with some real double-blinded type studies and, you know, and see what's really behind that. But yeah, so no, I mean, don't think I came out of retirement to just to pick on you guys or something. I mean, I'm pretty much back doing this full time again. So my MarketWave hat's going to be on a lot coming out in the future here. So no, this
cool.
is more like by popular demand. So, but here's the last thing, a point I was going to get to, and then we can wrap this up. I'm still trying to, you know, I was still trying to wrap my mind around where are the margins coming from to come in. Now let's assume it's not coming from the executive package; it's coming from the kit. We get that, all right? The coins themselves, though. They're still paying out $6, and I won't get into all the minutia of how binary math works, but that means generally, roughly, the company's paying out 12. Where you take the amount, and then you divide it by half to infinity, and you add up all those parts, it pretty much doubles the original number. So roughly somewhere, you're paying out. Well, where are you getting the $12 then? And originally I thought, well, there's that channel, you know, on those MS-70s, for example. They're going like 85, there's some lower, some higher, but generally 85 to 100, 125, somewhere in there. So you're buying low and you're selling high, and I'm thinking there's still not enough margin. How are they doing this? Well, here's my theory. You can just confirm this. If you get a $20 bullion coin straight from the mint, and which is roughly about what it would be, a little bit above the silver value, then I send it to Annex, and based on their order form, which I actually have here, if you send enough quantity to them, it's actually $10 to do it. There's some shipping costs, which gets defrayed pretty quickly, so about $11-$12 a coin in quantity to have them rated. And both you guys have said this, and I also got this straight from Annex. They did respond that about 10% on average will come back MS-70. So you're right, it is fairly rare, but one out of every 10 coins come back MS-70. So I'm thinking, how many times would I take a $20 product and pay someone $11 or $12 to make it so I can resell it for $99? I do that all day long. Now, so the question is, because obviously that would explain where the margin is. If you're paying $31, $32 to sell it for $99, that's the margin. But then it begs the question, why can't anybody else do this? And in fact, I called a company, where's my notes here, Northwest Territorial Mint, and I asked them, can I buy several hundred American Silver Eagle 2010 coins from you guys straight from the mint? And he said, absolutely. Even wanted to know if I wanted to do an order over the phone, in which I could then take them, and I'm not an expert, but I know what a scratch looks like, you know. So
sure.
I could take a magnifying glass, and I can pick out all the ones that are obviously not going to be MS-70. They're not struck a little bit. They got a little tarnish. There's a little scratch, whatever. And as I understand the measure, it's magnification times 10. If you can see it in the microscope, you can't see it magnification times 10. It'd probably still be MS-70. So, okay, good magnifying glass, and I'll check and pick out the ones that look to me like they're perfect. So when I send them to Annex, I can maybe get that 10% up to 20-25, but, you know, increase my odds a little bit. But by doing that, I mean, every time I do this, all the ones that come back MS-69, I could sell, as you said, for about what I paid for them, including the cost to have them rated, so I break even on those. But, you know, I've got this, you know, significant profit on all the ones that come back MS-70. And in other words, about two out of every three coins that come back MS-70 are almost free, because the one that I can then sell for its numismatic value pay for the other two. So why couldn't anyone just go gather their own American Silver Eagle coins and send them to Annex and just have not only for far less than $99, but for, at worst case, $31, $32. And if they resell one or two now and then, keep the other ones themselves for free.
Well, I think there's some flaws in your strategy. Having said that, that's kind of like saying, why doesn't everybody go and formulate their own juice product? I mean, our business isn't about turning somebody into a professional coin trader, and I clearly suspect that you bring professional trading from your I think you had mentioned that you had made a living for 2 years trading baseball cards. And being a professional trader and being a collector or recreational collector or hobbyist or somebody who's just passionate about getting some interesting graded silver and gold coins are two completely different things. And, of course, if somebody wants to go through the effort of buying several hundred silver American Eagles and 100 Australian koalas and kookaburras and libertads and then all of the commemorative coins and what have you, and try to replicate on an individual professional basis all of those things, more power to them. There are professional companies out there that do that, but that's not what our market is. We're bringing the convenience and that service and the value of the actual item already MS-70 graded, delivered, get the education, enjoy it with your family, put it in your case, and build a collection. So if somebody wants to become a professional trader and get out their loop and start scanning coins to get the 10, you know, to pre-grade them themselves, I mean, you just turn somebody into a professional grader, a trader, a silver.
I say professional, it involved, it would involve a lot. I mean, I'm talking about taking, and by the way, the analogy with juice companies doesn't really fit, because I can't go, for example, let's say I'm buying a $40 bottle of goji juice or something. I can't go to the manufacturer and say, I don't want to pay $40 anymore for that. You know, crank me out a bottle for $4.
Well, clearly you can go to the manufacturer and say, crank me out a bottle for $4, slap a label on it, and sell it for $40. That's what really is happening.
You say there's all kinds of fixed costs involved. They would say it's going to cost you thousands of dollars for us to make you one bottle. You can't
sure.
do that. But I can take, and 300 is the most coins that Annex had on their chart, where they had shipping charges, so that's the most I could have judged. But if I, as an individual, just sitting here in my house, can get 300 coins...
Okay, so you've got $60,000 in the coins.
Actually, it'd be $6,000, wouldn't it?
Yes, $6,000.
Yeah. So 20. If I, and let's say I could only double that 10% to 20 by really understanding what the grading system is and trying to, you know, pick out the best chances I had myself. I think I can do a lot better than that. But let's say I only doubled it and then resold the MS-70s for $80, which is way on the low end to make sure I sold them all. And then the MS-69s, I sold at 25, so I'm actually losing money on the MS-69s. I mean, I'm talking like worst-case scenario for just the average person doing this. And on eBay, by the way, you only set up the thing once, and then you just click the button to say resubmit it over and over. So, I mean, it's brainless, nothing activity. And all said and done, and I can send you the numbers if you want to audit it, but
yeah, send them to me.
The profit would be $7,753. That's almost a 72% return on investment. I mean, I would never invest another stock again in my life. I would just do this all day. So it's like the point is someone.
Have we brought a new coin collector to the industry?
But the point is, though, someone can do, anybody can do exactly what you're doing to create the same coin. I mean, it's how you guys are getting your margin, because I assume that's how you're doing it. It is literally like someone being able to say, I don't want to pay $40 for that bottle of juice anymore, and I can't get it produced.
Okay. So that's, they could do that. And I think you just said they shouldn't be in the network marketing business because they can do that, because network marketing is about it's about a lot of people doing a little, introducing people to something and educating them about something they may not be familiar with. And if they find value in it, they take advantage of it, and people have customers and they have representatives. They build a sales team. They train them how to introduce other people to the product and the opportunity, and they build a network marketing organization that, if they're successful and work the business, can pay them tens of thousands of dollars a month, or sometimes a lot more than that. So they're two different businesses. One of them is becoming a professional coin trader to try to replicate a company's product and assuming that they're going to be able to sell the product in mass and make these kind of returns that you're talking about. And another one is introducing massive numbers of people that out there are collecting stuff. Everybody collects something. And if you're going to collect something, it might as well be money instead of collecting a bunch of junk or crap or whatever people are collecting. And we think it's graded silver and gold is the best thing to collect. We have a system, the Fast Track Collector's Kit, to introduce people and educate them and teach them how to safely get involved in this business at very competitive prices with ongoing expanding education. And that's the business. That is the essence of network marketing. So if somebody wants to go out and get in excited about health and nutrition or coins and then go start their own business and start doing the thing themselves and try to knock off all the things, you know, and that's part of the
juices and nutritionals.
What's that?
That's not realistic with new juices and nutritionals. You can't go make the product for yourself for a tenth of the price. But you can do that with what you're doing. Anyone can duplicate the process that you're going through.
Well, clearly I don't think that anybody can duplicate what we're going through, because you've given an example of somebody buying a Silver Eagle and putting together a business system that comprises not only all of the web technology and the marketing compensation plan, the marketing system, and the infrastructure of a large, well-funded, highly seasoned executive team, and combine it with experts, some of the leading experts in the numismatic field, and in the by way of Keith Love and Mike Mezat. There are other aspects to this business beyond just the fundamental formula that you quoted. And good luck if you're going to do that.
Well, I understand. I never meant to imply that as an individual I can get into an MLM business doing this. Obviously, you guys have got way more going on in that area than that. I'm talking about the person who is in Category 3. They're not making a token purchase to meet a quota. They're not hoarding them for investments. They're someone who really wants to collect these coins because of their numismatic value. Those people are really into the business. Instead of going to Numis and getting them for $99, they can just get some for themselves and send them to Annex themselves and get them for $31, $32, and then sell one or two from now on eBay, which is simple to do, and parlay that into essentially for every one you sell, two of them are free, essentially, instead of $99. So if someone really wanted the coin, not starting an MLM business, they wanted that coin.
Okay, and so, you use the term of they go and do all of this effort and they get one for free. Well, if I go and I sell a Fast Track Collector's Kit, I get $100. Well, is that the same as me getting a free coin? My silver coin of the month is free. I sell another Fast Track Collector's Kit, I get $100. Somebody in my organization sells one, they're doing my two-star, I get $100. So I think you're comparing apples and oranges. That's not the business that we're in. And sure, if your position is because somebody can go out and individually create a product and then resell it into the marketplace, okay, sure they can. The numismatic collector market existed long before network marketing. It's a $10 billion industry, $100 billion worldwide. Numis Network is unique in that we're bringing it to we're bringing a proven product through direct marketing into network marketing. And that is, in essence, what people have to evaluate. If I'm looking at this as a business opportunity, I say, hey, I like this comp plan. I like these products. And in using your example, I can get all these coins for free if I just build an organization and it starts generating income for me. Well, voila. It's two different things.
Building an MLM downline might be a little tougher than what I described, but I get your point. So I think we've went about as far as we could on that. So if you guys, I mean, I'm sure you understand that numismatic value is based on scarcity, essentially. So if you guys continue to crank out more and more MS-70s, and you might be flooding the market with MS-70 coins in the months and years ahead as you get larger and larger. Already I'm seeing examples of people who are Numis Network distributors selling the coins they bought from Numis online for less than what they paid for it, and that's just now. I mean, when you guys get to 50,000, 100,000 distributors, wouldn't you be eventually flooding the market with MS-70 coins, causing their numismatic value to drop because the scarcity is going to go down, while at the same time silver prices, as most people tend to believe, are going to continue to increase? So from both ends, that's going to be squeezing your margins possibly significantly, and theoretically possibly even to nothing if silver goes up and you get so many MS-70s out there, the value goes down. Ongoing in the future, as a business model, are you concerned about what that margin might be on these coins going forward?
Well, clearly, as any business operator, we have to be conscientious of the margins we maintain on our products, and that they, in a sales organization, that they're sufficient to pay your compensation plan and your sales force. That those are just fundamentals of any business. But like any numismatic coin, virtually most of the products that are being sold in network marketing be purchased secondhand 10 cents on the dollar. The primary difference between a numismatic coin and in particular the way that we present them is that we're talking about collecting the coin, and provided people get the coins and collect them, then I believe over time we'll create more scarcity, we'll create more demand, and the product primarily will stay out of the marketplace. This is not a product that's consumed, it's a product that's collected. And will some people go and sell their product, their coin to a coin dealer or on eBay for less than what they paid for it? Absolutely. They do that with every type of product. But at the same time, you have a product that has intrinsic value. It has collector value. It has unique characteristics in terms of using it as a gift or something like that for introducing people to coin collecting and giving them something of value. So certainly, I mean,
Well,
I think it's
based on the number of something that's in existence, not floating around between people. So how is producing more of something, possibly on a mass scale?
Well, scarcity is not necessarily how much exists. It's how much exists that's available in the marketplace. And the market obviously will, but you're kind of bringing into the investment concept, is the price of a coin going to go up? Is the price going to go down? I tell you what, the value of my collection is going to go up in my heart the bigger that it gets.
Well, overall, of course.
And I certainly would expect that the price of those coins will be, well, I don't know if the price of the coins will go up or down, but I do know that they'll maintain their intrinsic value. And whether silver goes up or whether it goes down, that's to be seen. That's certainly an element of our pricing model.
So if there's 30 million, which I think there is, of 2010 American Silver Eagles minted, and you guys produce 1,000 MS-70s of that by just way of your business. I'm just making up a number. But by the end of the year, you've produced another 10,000 of them. That's got to reduce scarcity. And in other words,
if it increases demand commensurate with at the same time that it's supplying the demand, is it reducing scarcity? I think ultimately we're creating demand that doesn't exist in the marketplace. That's the whole essence of our business model. We're selling a collectible, and I think you're presenting the argument against a collectible that, hey, everybody's going to run and sell it off on eBay, and some will, most won't.
I don't think our fortunes
lie exclusively in the eBay universe. Long before there was Numis Network, there's billions and billions of these coins being sold, or billions of dollars worth of these coins being sold each and every year. And Numis currently is a small, small, small piece of a very large industry. And so while I'm honored that everybody thinks that Numis Network is going to enjoy such magnificent success that we're going to blow the price of collectible coins right out of the water, I think the reality is that for the foreseeable future, Numis Network's impact on the overall industry will be relatively insignificant. And over time, as we do become a significant player in the industry and produce big numbers, we'll be creating a tremendous amount of demand, introducing new products, new coins, and diversifying the type of opportunities people participate in, what they're collecting. We've already done that. Again, we've got 80 coins on the website.
Right,
these one coins.
I'm using binary logic, I guess you could say. Either Numis is going to be a large, successful company someday, or it's not. One or the other. If you're not, well, that's not good, of course. And if you are, and you get to 50,000, 100,000 distributors someday, I don't understand how you could not create a glut of MS-70 coins out there that are going to be going back and forth all over the place. It's not just in eBay, but in dealers or whatever. There's just going to be this
influx of MS-70. I hope everybody listening to this call says, wow, if they're going to be that successful and have that much impact on the industry, then I better get involved now rather than sit on the side of the fence and go, this thing isn't going to happen.
Right.
I obviously believe it's going to be a tremendous success, both for our customers as well as our representatives, and there's going to be ongoing expanding opportunities. And yes, there's a market function of what takes place with numismatic coins, and we'll have to see what Numis Network's impact is on that.
Well, getting them involved before the numismatic value of a coin.
Well, that's conjecture, saying that Numis Network is going to drive the price of all the coins down to 50. But let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If you had 25 coins in a box and you collected them, and Numis and the price of those coins, they were $100 today, and in 3 months or 3 years, the average price of those coins is $50. And then in 6 years, they're still in your case. You still enjoy the family fun in the rewarding activity of going through these coins and sharing them with your family, which, by the way, is probably a priceless experience, and I'm going to cover that in just a minute. But in 15 years, Lynn, You get bumped off. You're walking down the street, a semi hits you, and you've got this massive collection, 50 coins now, and you pass it along to somebody in your family. How much are those coins worth? Well, I don't know what they're going to be worth in 15 years. Are they going to be worth $300? Are they going to be worth $40? Are they going to be priceless because they were Len Clements' personal collection and your family gets to enjoy something of tremendous personal sentimental value?
That wasn't anything I was questioning, though, at all. I get that, 100%. My question is, 15 years from now, when they're worth about spot price, let's say, $20, what is Numis, the company, going to do when they can't sell them for $99 anymore? That's the question.
Again, Len, that is a hypothetical situation, just like what's all the goji berry people going to do if the price of goji berries goes off the chart and there's a drought and they don't have a goji berry.
Scarcity. The more goji bottles they produce doesn't intrinsically bring down the price or the value of their product. That's a completely irrelevant analogy.
No, I don't. If you can't produce your product, basically, I think it's very relevant. You're saying I can't sell my product because the price doesn't have the margin in it anymore.
Right.
I'm telling you, any company that has a supply and demand issue to deal with, then the future will reveal what the market holds for those things.
Right.
And if your contention is inevitably, Numis Network will create so many coins that the price of the coins is going to go down, regardless of the fact that people are collecting them, then, you know, I disagree with that. I don't think that that's what we're going to see in the marketplace. I clearly think we'll see fluctuation in the price of coins, but our business isn't about that particular price fluctuation. The question with the margin, we'll have to see what the future holds on that. Clearly, that is relevant, and you know, there's again, we've got 80 different coins with different margins in them, and it's not just a single particular coin that we're introducing to the marketplace that's going to flood the marketplace with single coin offering and demand. The other thing that's very relevant here, by the way, is that each year these coins are made one time only. So you're talking about scarcity. Well, we may grade a lot of MS-70s, but this is a product that once the year's done producing it, and unlike any other products, once that year is done, it's done. There are no more of those ever to be made again, and that particular product is defined and limited to the exact number that came into the marketplace there. And that there will never be another, for example, there will never be another 2009 Silver Eagle made, or a 2009 Koala, or Chinese Silver Panda. What was done is done. And on the flip side of that question, while we may be producing a large number of MS-70s, we're producing a definitive or finite amount out of a finite amount of a product that's never to be produced again. And so I think that over time, those products, because of that aspect of coins and their particular issue year being a one-time coin or one-time product, that, you know, the margins and the availability of the, you know, the products will maintain equilibrium.
A finite number that can be produced. If there were 30 million minted, then if 10% come back MS-70, taken to its logical extreme, that means more than 3 million MS-70 American Silver Eagles.
Well, clearly that's not going to be the case.
Obviously,
of the bullion coins are going into the market primarily as bullion investment. And
I understand, but I'm just saying that would be the ultimate ceiling.
I sure hope, Len, that worldwide, and by the way, that's a whole, you know, we're just getting kind of start cracking the market here in the United States. We're about to bust this thing open with a global expansion strategy. And while in many countries, the communities have some kind of animosity for Americans, or in some cases, the appetite for graded silver and gold American coins, I believe, is extraordinary. Likewise, we're finding an extraordinary appeal of world coins in the United States. So our market is not the United States. Again, I've talked a couple of times about a point in time as opposed to the continuum and the evolution of Numis Network. We're talking about a worldwide market with 6 billion people in it. I don't know how many of those people we can introduce to coin collecting, but I can tell you it will be a tremendous number. And again, it goes back to demand. And if you create the demand, people collect, and they're not, you know, if they're not flooding them into the market, which certainly is one characteristic that can take place, I don't think we're going to see the prices of numismatic coins, in particular the ones Numis Network is offering, plunge to some ridiculous level. And we'll continue to sell at reasonably competitive prices.
Last question, I'm going to let you go. Completely off topic. And none of these dealers can even answer this. Maybe you guys can. Why will none of the grading services rate coins with holes in them?
Coins with holes in them?
The foreign coins that have holes in them, there's various different kinds over the years in different countries. They're more like they look like donuts.
Sure.
Coins with holes in them. But the mint made them that way. And for some reason, none of these grading services will rate a coin with a hole in it. What makes the difference?
Well, I don't know the specific answer to that, but what I can tell you is that the over the past 12 years, back right around 2000, Mike Mazak introduced through television and infomercials and direct marketing, ultimately arriving on HSN, the concept of grading modern issue coins. And this was a concept that was received in the grading space with a lot of distaste by the traditionalist. You know, grading was exclusively for vintage and rare coins, etc. And what you saw was this transformation over the course of 10, 11 years where the vast amount of business that all of the four grading companies, including PCGS, NGC, Annex, and ICG as well, the vast volume of their grading services actually takes place in this area of modern issue coins. And what I think you're about to see happen, is, in particular, I think Numis Network will be kind of a driver for this, is the introduction of a much larger volume of world coins being graded and made available through the traditional marketplace, as well as obviously Numis Network. Now, going back to the coin with a donut hole that maybe one of those little islands produced or what have you, I have absolutely no idea why the graders won't. But I can tell you this, I can certainly call and talk to a few of the folks that run the graders and ask them if they have a specific answer for it. But I don't know the answer.
It's one of only two questions that all my life I've never been able to get anybody to answer. Now, that would be the second one. The first one was why a bunted pop-up can never be an infield fly.
Well, I don't know about that one either. But going back to that donut hole question, I probably could get one graded. So maybe we can get an answer.
Actually, I do got a few of those.
Even if we have to change the answer, I probably could get one graded.
Okay. Ian, and I got you, it was Ian every time, too.
Yeah.
I really appreciate all the time that you spent. Obviously, this was a lot longer than I thought we were going to go, but you're certainly thorough. I thought you certainly stood up well. You know, congratulations. So it's and you know, and every time we have these conversations, I will tell you, you change my mind a little bit more.
I hope that reveals itself in the written part of your review or the add-on part to your verbal error, because I will tell you, I did feel a little bit under attack through this call, but having said that, you know, I think your questions were definitely challenging, and certainly I hope that however this information is available on MarketWave or what have you, that people find it useful and ultimately find that, you know, Numis Network is a great opportunity for them to consider in the network marketing industry, and one of many, whether it happens to be numismatic coins or whether it happens to be more traditional products offered through the industry, because I certainly would like to see people successful and enjoying all of the benefits this industry offers.
And I appreciate that too. And again, I don't want to do anything to even insinuate that you guys don't have absolutely sincere intentions, and that you guys are really in this for the long haul. Of course, you guys are. It's just, I don't want to be.
Well, with all due respect, man, you and I both are capable of taking any company that we review and shredding it into pieces. Okay, I have absolutely no questions. I can do it with the one you're involved in. I can do it with any other company that's out there, and I can get on, write a review that would be much more concise and professional than 99.9% of anything that you see on the internet, with the exception of possibly the work that you do. You and I know that we can. We have a level of experience and knowledge and expertise not matched by many, that can shred just about anything, whether it's Numis Network or whether it's, I won't mention any other companies, but certainly that while we have that capability, that certainly is not what how I direct my energies. And one of the reasons that we've sat back and participated in very limited regard to a lot of this stuff that goes on the internet, because the vast majority of it is really coming from not folks really interested in evaluating the Numis Network opportunity in an unbiased fashion, but rather looking at the Numis Network and saying, hey, here's an opportunity for me to piggyback on Numis Network's interest in the marketplace, shred them up, try to sell my own opportunity, try to get some leads or what have you. And by the way, I do want to put a little thank you out there to Troy Dooley. He has been he came on as a somewhat of a industry advocate and somewhat of a critic, and most of the review that he's done has been fair and unbiased, and I thought appropriate, and so we've participated with providing him information about what we're doing and how we're doing it and what have you. And that's not to say that everybody that we do that with, including yourself, is going to go, hey, kudos, I think I see it. But again, I think we can devote our energies in.
When you talk about devoting energies, understand, somebody's got to do this. We talk about watchdogs in the industry and so forth, but who really out there is asking these types of questions? I mean, there's one particular watchdog that always shoots first and asks questions later. I don't want to do that. There are other watchdogs that, do, like I said, the Larry King interview. They just throw some softballs and basically becomes an infomercial. Somebody has got to ask the tough questions. And I'm not saying you don't have answers to them. In fact, I want companies to have answers to them. You have answers to them. Most of these questions I ask of these companies, they don't have answers. Or they don't even want to answer them because they know they don't have answers. So, who's going to ask these questions? Who's going to give you, because you're right, these questions are all over the net. I just gave you a form to actually answer them instead of just leave. Because, by the way, if you leave it up to their imagination, especially in this industry, network marketing distributors as a group, they will always see the glass half empty. Every little puff of smoke is a mushroom cloud to them. And as it goes through the MLM grapevine, bad news will always get worse. And
you don't leave
it up to their imaginations. You want to just address it. And, I don't want to do it in a combative way. I wasn't trying to attack you, obviously, but I was trying to be assertive and get the point in and get the challenge in so you had an opportunity to address it. This is the exact same way I've done this for 20 years, whether I was a distributor or not a distributor. I didn't do it in any different way, and I'm not going to do it in any different way in the future. And to tell you the truth, the only reason why you're even on my radar is because people were asking about you.
Sure.
There are way more companies out there that deserve this kind of scrutiny, way more than you guys, believe me. And that's who I'm going to be trying to focus on. I mean, I get to pick now, other than this one company I told you about, I'm going to pick the ones who I think people need to know about, because there's some really nasty stuff out there. When I graded you guys, what did I say, an MS-63? Some people understand, too. MS-60, MS-61 are about the only two bad grades. I think it was 62. From 62 to 70, as I understand the grading system, that's degrees of good.
Right, I think you gave us the lower degree of good. MS-62 or something.
Whatever it is, it was a degree of good. I don't think you guys are a pyramid or you're not a scam or anything, and there are a lot of them out there, and they need to be exposed too. And that's who I'd like to focus on. So that's who I will focus on in the future. Of course, they won't come on calls like this because, like I said, most of them know they're a scam and they don't want to address it, but see what happens. But anyway, I need to kind of defend myself a little bit there too, so... And believe me, if I was going to go out there and start tearing down every other building in the land so my building was the tallest building, you know, my MLM company, a numismatic coin company would be not my first choice to hit.
Right.
There are some other companies out there that are more a little closer to that market that really deserve some scrutiny too, and that would probably be where
I'd Well, yeah, I think the challenge we run into is everybody, on the surface, everybody goes, okay, I'm competing on by product category, and the reality is unfortunately, network marketing is a in some regards, and not this does not apply to everybody, but certainly there's an aspect of this industry where it's somewhat of a bloodbath of people just competing on the opportunity, and it's a, just trying to chew up one opportunity so they can get somebody from there. And if I had anything to say in this call, the best way to build a business is introduce new people to the industry and try to bring them in such a positive light, because what happens is with all of this, you know, just attacking other companies in the context that it's the easiest way to recruit representatives, it creates an incredible stain, and it creates the replication or duplication of the worst this industry has to offer, and that's really what it is.
And I agree with this, and I said this on many shows before too, by the way, is that, you know, say there's about 2,000 companies out there, some estimates are much higher, but you know, say there's about 2,000 companies out there, we got so many distributors telling everybody that 1,999 of them are no good. It's a great industry, though. You got to get involved with this industry. It's fantastic. Now, 99.9% of it is bad, but it's a great industry. Well, no wonder we have kind of a stigma about the whole industry. There are many good companies out there. I mean, we're talking,
sure,
again, degrees of good. That's all we're talking about. I also agree, too, that the outer circle market is where your future growth is. Every momentum company in history, if you look at right before they went into momentum, there is a common event. They all did something to bring in massive amounts of people from outside the industry. Nobody's went into momentum by this migration of distributors from company to company. You know,
right.
And having said that, they do tend to follow specific channels as well, too. There's no coincidence that, I mean, there's some fallout right now from some health and nutrition companies, but yet you guys seem to be the recipient of the Fortune High Tech. You know, things are going on with them. The iLearning Global just dumped MLM. A lot of those people are moving to Numis. Why? Because it's not a nutritional product company. There are certain people that just like that particular category, you know. And
sure.
Some people will say, look, I'm going to another juice company. I don't care what's out there. It's got to be another juice company. So they tend to kind of there are schools, I guess you could say, like fish.
Well, they stay with what they're familiar with.
Right, exactly. So, and I think you're obviously, you know, benefiting from that too. And non-nutritional product companies that are having struggles out there, a lot of them are obviously attracted to Numis. But again, that's from a distributor standpoint, that's not the market I'm in. So that's not my motive, I assure you. So having said that, I we're way over time, so I don't want to keep you any longer. So I really appreciate all the time that you took and hanging in there. I originally called this segment The Kitchen, as if you can't stand the heat, stay out of. no one ever dives out or hangs up on me or anything. So I figured, I don't know, it's kind of pretentious. I won't call it that anymore. But you know, I've always tried to make it clear that it's not going to be softballs, but you handled it well. You addressed everything that I asked, and I appreciate that you hung in there and did that. So,
sure.
You know, again, I thank you very much, Ian Cordell from Numis Network, and we'll wrap this up for this particular call, and this will probably be, other than maybe just a short written follow-up to this, because most of it's covered here verbally. Last, I'm going to really do with Numis. I'm kind of done with it. I've given the information people asked for out there, and there it is, and so I'm going to move on to bigger and better targets out there, because you guys – certainly, I don't think you deserve this much scrutiny, to tell you the truth. So, but,
well, I'll be looking forward to you seeing us clean up some of the stuff out there on the Internet. I clearly, the proof is in the pudding, and I appreciate you having a forum. I certainly, while it is a challenging environment, I certainly appreciate that you have put yourself to the task to hold executives to the fire in the kitchen or whatever you're going to call it into the future. And thank you for what you've contributed to the industry, because I agree with you 100%, even if I'm on the other side of answering those tough questions, that they definitely need to be asked. And representatives or folks considering particular companies or the industry really this is a great platform for them to have some due diligence, so to speak, consolidated and formulated in some very challenging questions and answer sessions.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Ian.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye.